So, good morning, everybody. You all seem very far away. We've got the EDUCAUSE. So I'm Mike Roy. I'm Dean of Library and Information Services at Middlebury College. This is Jeremy Steins, who is the head of media design at ArtStore. Before we go any further, Jeremy and I were curious, how many of your institutions are actually ArtStore subscribers? And then how many are not? Okay, that's so two-thirds of you seem to be ArtStore subscribers, so that sort of helps us figure out where we want to go with this. We also wanted to point out that EDUCAUSE has very nicely created a Twitter feed for this session. I'm not going to talk very long, but I will be sort of manning the Twitter feed. So if you have questions, first off, you should feel free to interrupt us as we go. But if you have questions, you can always just sort of type them into the Twitter feed, and I can nudge Jeremy and say, "Oh, we got it. We have a question from the audience, so you can use it that way." So without further ado, I'm going to just start diving in. So as I said, I'm Mike Roy. I'm Dean of Library and Information Services at Middlebury College. We're one of the partners that are working with ArtStore on this shared shelf project. Jeremy's going to talk in great detail about what shared shelf is. I thought as a way to introduce the project, it would be useful for those of you who are working at you know, colleges and universities to understand why Middlebury chose to get involved. And to get there, I'll kind of explain where we are with digital asset management and with visual resources in particular. So when I arrived at Middlebury a couple of years ago, we had a whole host of systems. So the first few sets of slides are simply descriptions of the various approaches to digital asset management that we were using. So this one here is MDID, which is the Madison Digital Image Database. I think that's what it stands for. Maybe it stands for something else. But it's an open source system that James Madison University created that we installed locally. When I arrived, the guy who had installed it had left, and the poor visual resources department had nobody in our IT department that knew anything about it, and so we never do anything with it because we're afraid we're going to break it and not know how to fix it. So when we started talking about shared shelf, the visual resources people who are dependent on this particular system were thrilled with the idea of no longer depending on the central IT to manage this particular database. If you hit the next one. So the second system, and the list goes on and on. I've sort of cut. This is the sort of top six I'll show you. Second system that we rely on our campus is a FileMaker system. We have a small museum on campus that has roughly 3,000 objects, and they've created sort of digital surrogates for many of those objects, and they've built a homegrown collection management system to sort of keep track of the provenance of the article, of the stuff, and the insurance information, and all that. And so lots of this information is quite private, but they also want to make available to the public the images. And so the best thing we could do is sort of figure out how to do FileMaker instant web publishing. And so there's a version of that available that we've created. Third system that we've been using heavily is ArtStore. So many of our art history faculty, but also many faculty from mostly from the humanities, rely on ArtStore for many of their images as well, and manage collections and provide access that way. Another system is Cumulus. So our public relations communications office has Cumulus, which they use to keep track of images that they use in their publications and on our website. And then we also, it just goes on and on, we also have Content DM, and so we have a small digitization effort within the library to create digital archives. We have lecture archives and various documents that we've scanned and make available through Content DM, and so we've learned somewhat about how to manage and create web presences through Content DM. And then I will not take any credit for this one. This one existed before I arrived as well. We also built a homegrown theoretically open source system called Concerto, which is also a digital asset management for use for instructional computing. So if you go back, you can sort of see this as sort of summary of the various systems that we had running. And it was clear when we were approached by ArtStore whether or not we were interested in sort of looking at all of these various systems and how none of them talked to each other, none of them had a very good support model within our campus, that this seemed like a really attractive proposition. The next slide is really also the systems I described earlier were sort of enterprise systems that were thought of as available universally for the campus to use. We also, as many of you no doubt have, many of our faculty have their own kind of private ways of managing all of this, and so this is simply a kind of smattering of things that they use. So they're using Picasa, they're using PowerPoint, they're using the ArtStore offline viewer, they're using iPhoto, they're using Flickr. There's a whole bunch of different sort of webtop and desktop applications that are also in use. And the sense was that those particular pieces, if the other systems had a hard time talking to each other, these systems were even harder to get people to share and collaborate and work within the campus. So as again a sort of setup to get the conversation started about Shared Shelf, from our particular vantage point at Middlebury, that we had sort of three major goals in getting involved. So the first was to reduce the number of systems to a dull roar. I mean, we have no expectations that we'll ever converge to a single digital asset management system, but the sense was that we could at least reduce to a more manageable number and have better models for support by trying to push people into thinking about Shared Shelf. The second was to think about the possibilities for sharing. So within campus, the systems that we have don't, as I said, don't talk to each other, and people aren't even aware of many of the systems. And so by trying to funnel more of the activity into this common platform, we thought that it would be much more likely that people could share images within their own, you know, within campus. And then because this is collaborative, and the notion is that these are, over time, there will be dozens, if not hundreds, of institutions sharing images these way, that we might avoid having to digitize certain things and manage certain things because they would be available through ArtStore or through the Open Shelf, which is a platform that ArtStore is envisioning for sharing these collections. A third piece that's promised doesn't exist yet are providing multiple interfaces to the same information. And so the long-term vision that we were promised was that Shared Shelf could be this data store for all of this information, all of the digital assets and the metadata around them, but that you would also be able to have that same information flow with controls into things like Google Images, Flickr, Picasa, local data stores, and be able to build custom interfaces. So, for example, our museum is very interested in being able to present a sort of an interface that makes people realize that they're at the Middlebury Museum. But the idea would be to have the data living within Shared Shelf, but the way it is represented, you wouldn't feel like you're on an ArtStore site. You would feel like you're on the Middlebury Museum site. So these are some of these goals we're getting there very quickly, and then some of these goals are things that will arrive over time. But that's, I just thought it would be useful as we learn, as Jeremy goes into the details of what Shared Shelf is and how it works, for you to hear right up front how one of the schools involved in it, why we got involved. So I guess I'm going to turn the mic over to Jeremy. But are there questions before Jeremy takes over? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay, yes. The Content DM collections are generated by the library. Many of the other, the public relations department does what they do. The visual resources department is actually reports up through the Department of Art and Art History, and so we support them, but they have their own policies and procedures for managing that. The museum, again, is its own freestanding entity. So one of the interesting negotiations in all of this is sort of what's it mean if we all have to agree to work under the same sets of policies and procedures. Well, we haven't quite got there yet. I mean, we're still early days. So the visual resources folks are thrilled, but they're the single tenant right now. Once we have multiple tenants, then it'll probably get a lot more interesting. Okay, so take it away, Jeremy.
And feel free, if you have questions at any point, just raise your hand. I'd like this to be more of a dialogue than just a kind of giant speaking head. I thought since some of you aren't familiar with ArtStore, I'd start with a little bit of background on who we are. We are a nonprofit organization that was founded by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, and we are standalone now. We do not receive funds from them any longer, so we're a standalone nonprofit. Our charge has really been digital technology in the areas of scholarship, teaching, and learning. And some of you may know our first initiative, which was the ArtStore Digital Library, which now has close to 1.2 million images in it. And the images cover the arts, architecture, humanities, and social sciences and sciences. And we have close to 1,300 subscribing institutions that use ArtStore as an image resource. As part of our goal, a lot of people are very comfortable with ArtStore because of the non-commercial use of images, and they feel like they're protected from an IP point of view. And we do indemnify users when they're using ArtStore, which means that we take on the legal responsibility if they're using those images correctly and within our terms of use. Our last goal, really, which is to come up with solutions for the complex challenges that are an inescapable part of working in a challenging digital environment. Now, those are a lot of words, but basically, what we quickly recognize is that in providing a service for images, there's also a lot of local content that is swimming around these institutions, and how are we going to address those as well? And that's really that was really the impetus for us looking into developing Shared Shelf. Here's a bit of a timeline so you can see how long we've been around and how Shared Shelf as a concept evolved. ArtStore Digital Library, which is the image database I described, began in April of 2004. Almost immediately when we launched, we heard from a lot of the subscribing institutions that they have local content, and is there any way that we can host their local content alongside ArtStore content? There are a bunch of different benefits with this. One, it became more of a single point of contact for faculty and students. So they can find the images they needed. They could also use the tools that are inherent to the digital library, such as making image groups or sets, exporting things out using RefWorks, a lot of the other features that weren't available in some of their other discovery systems that they already had. So we started off with a pilot program of hosting with a few institutions. And in the beginning, it was very hard, and it was very exploratory. They came to us, they would send us a hard drive. In some cases, they would just send us a giant database on a drive, and we had to map it out and figure out how it was going to map to our schema in ArtStore, and then load those images in. And it was a very labor-intensive process. And there was a lot of back and forth between us and the institution to figure out how those data could be mapped properly. And so we used this pilot program to kind of understand the landscape and the complexity of data that lives out there and how we can accommodate it in a more of a real-time way. And so as hosting evolved from two participants to 150 that we have today, actually, we've learned a lot. We learned that manual hosting is hard and expensive. And so there needs to be some changes in the way that we operate and the way that you, and also the way that you use your content, because you can't really rely on things to happen on a semester basis. You need real-time updates if you're going to respond to the teaching needs of your campus. And so you see from June of 2004 to July of 2010, which we launched a beta version, which I'll talk about a little bit, we've been thinking about this and what it really means and what kind of infrastructure do we need to not only support image management across the campus but also support real-time and in what way? Is it going to be a locally installed software or is it going to be cloud computing? And as you know, we'll be talking about it, we opted for the cloud computing route. One of the things also that we learned is that there's variability not only among all of these people who are hosting, but there's also variability within any given institution, which is exactly what Mike was showing. And this was a common theme with all of the partners that we're working with. I mean, NYU had four different systems that they were also working with and three different implementations of just Luna that didn't really talk to one another from a schema point of view. So looking at this, we realized that there's all of this great information that really isn't being stored anywhere centrally. People aren't taking advantage of collaborative cataloging in any kind of way, and also the discovery systems for them were also varied. So they'd have to go to Luna Insight for one, they can go to Art Store for another, and they can go to a locally grown system for a third. And we wanted to address this, and we knew that this was a large issue, because imagery is really becoming a core part of teaching and not just a place in the arts and humanities. So we started to work with a group of partners who showed interest in this idea of an enterprise-wide cloud computing system to manage images on their campus. And in the beginning, it was very exploratory. We held a bunch of workshops where we got everyone together and focused on specific issues and tried to tease out what would it really take to do this and to do it well. We have two lead partners, Harvard and Yale, and then a good variety of additional partners, one being the Society of Architectural Historians, that gives us a more society point of view, a group of individuals all kind of working together as one body. And then we have a mixture of private, public, university, and college institutions that also gives us the issues of funding and how what we face from that point of view, but also in terms of complexity and infrastructure. Some of these schools have extremely established infrastructures, and others are pretty fledgling. So we thought this would be a good cross-section to use as a sounding board when we're developing Shared Shelf. And so from that, from these discovery workshops that we've held over the past almost 2 years now, we developed the skeleton or the components of what Shared Shelf really is. And again, it's an image management system that is all cloud-based. And there's a cataloging component that supports both simple and complex cataloging and is based on a lot of industry standards like VRA Core 4. Another piece that we've heard from the community is to address a vocabulary warehouse. And for those that are familiar with authorities and controlled vocabularies, this is something that's very near and dear to ArtStore's heart, but also to the visual resource community as well. It helps not only integrity of data, but it also helps with the discovery of data on the other side and also cataloging efficiency. If we have a bunch of vocabularies that people can draw on, they can catalog quicker, and also all that rich data can be carried across into the discovery environment if they choose to. There's also the digital asset management component of secure storage or to replicate one of your files on our servers as a backup. We're thinking in terms of what file formats we're going to support, what data comes across with that, how do we manage data related to an asset versus descriptive data. I'll talk about that in a little bit. And then also the notion of publishing and exporting. And this was really important to the partners. This is your content. So you want to be able to push it where you want to push it and get it out when you want. A lot of the systems that they have usually satisfy one element of that. They can either catalog it and they have to do something totally different to put it in a discovery environment, or to export data out takes a lot of effort or even requires consulting on some of the software side to get all of your data out. And we didn't want that to be the case. We want it to be as porous as possible. Any questions just about the overall view of Shared Shelf? So a little deeper into the cataloging component, we found through these workshops that there are lots of different ways to catalog. Some campuses just need a few fields, and it's very basic, more tombstone information. And others, the good example would be a university museum or college museum, are looking for a much richer schema to adopt. And so Shared Shelf accommodates both simple and complex data. And also, again, it draws on VRA Core 4. And also, it integrates these vocabularies, many of them seeded by the Getty, as part of the experience. So as you're cataloging, you don't have to go out and go to to view an authority and then cut and paste it and put it back in. It's all integrated into the experience. We also know that the fields need to be customizable by type, and also add additional fields because workflow at every campus is different. Some of the benefits of having a standard schema to start means that sharing across institutions, there's a lot more potential with that, but you can also add additional fields based on what you need locally. Other big wins that we heard from our partners was that the templates for cataloging need to be customizable. You need to be able to do bulk editing in a serious way, not just 100 records at a time. And right now, we're working on the second phase of the beta, and we've just reached 15,000 record bulk edit. And so we're constantly looking for stress testing and volume testing as part of this, because we know it's part of cataloging today, especially when you're trying to normalize values across a big body of images. copy and paste functions, duplicating records, and again, the built-in integrated authorities. So these are some of the primary features of the online cataloging environment. With respect to the control vocabularies, we're really looking at three to start. Two of them have been developed by the Getty Research Institute, and you may be familiar with it if you're in the visual resource community. One is the Union List of Artist Names. The other one is the Thesaurus of Geographic Names. And these will be integrated into the experience. Getty is also working on a cultural object name authority, which is really a works authority, which means for every painting and for every building, there would be a standardized work record that you can reference and then just change the elements that are specific to the view of what you're doing. So this has huge, huge, huge efficiencies when you're cataloging, and also it adds in a bunch of other rich data that on the user side, if there are four different ways of describing the title of a work of art, all of those would be referenced inside of the work authority. Kona doesn't exist yet. It's really just kind of a twinkle in the Getty's eye. But we think that this is one of the key elements of Shared Shelf, and it's important for the cataloging experience. And as such, we applied for an IMLS grant that we were just awarded recently with Avery Library at Columbia University and with the Getty Research Institute to focus on first on built works. Built works are a little bit more finite than movable works, which are things like paintings and sculpture. And so we're going to be working on that grant with them over the next 3 years to try to get some of the great indexes of built works that are available and make it into an authority that's available for when you're cataloging. And we're not just thinking about cultural objects with authorities. We're trying to develop a system that can accommodate other types of controlled lists and other types of data. So that's something we're constantly thinking about, and I'll talk about that a little bit later when we think about non-art objects and what the system can do with that kind of data as well. So managing digital assets. Right now, we're focusing on still images. We recognize that panoramas, audio, video files are really part of teaching and something that people are asking for. Our philosophy on this is we want to do still images and do it really well. And we're going to do that first and then work with the partners to say, okay, what do we tackle next? Because it poses a lot of issues not only from a data point of view but from streaming servers and bandwidth and pricing and all those other components. And ArtStore up to this point has really been focused on still images. We do have some QuickTime VR in ArtStore, but we think we want to do that well first and then move on and see what other formats we address next. You'll be able to push your content up over into the cloud and have secure storage and be able to upload your content via the internet or via some local applications that we're going to develop to facilitate the exchange of information. Also, there is still the possibility of a hard drive. I know even places like Amazon, when you think about storage, there are some things that just warrant a hard drive and for us to load it for you, and so that's still going to be a possibility if we're working with terabytes of information. The other thing we're thinking about is that when you ingest images into a system, there's data embedded in those images. And so we're looking at IPTC, EXIF, and XMP data to figure out how those data not only get captured from a more preservation point of view, but also how they map potentially to descriptive data fields. So if there's a title in the IPTC field, should it map automatically to the title field as you move it in? So if people want to start to use images offline or maybe on a dig or on a site, they can catalog it there and then ingest it into the system. So we have a working group that's focusing specifically on this issue and figuring out how to prepare for that. Right now, we're not thinking about archiving as a service. It's something we're thinking about, but it's not something we're going to offer for quite a while until the community demands it. Now, with publishing and exporting, there are a bunch of different possibilities. Starting with publishing, we talked about the hosted collection idea where you can push your content into the ArtStore discovery environment and have ArtStore content and your content in the same place. So that's one, and that's institutional access usually. Then we have a bunch of examples like the Tri-Colleges and the Five Colleges and other consortial institutions that like to share content between institutions. So today, in our hosting pilot, we have CDL shares collections between the different schools, and so do the Tri-Colleges and the Five Colleges. So that's another bit of sharing a little bit more, but within a comfort zone. And the one thing to just talk about, the name Shared Shelf really speaks to the potential of what the system could do. If you think you can share within your institution first, which would solve Mike's solution, we also want to think incrementally as you move out. Can you share consortially? Can you share then with all Art Store subscribers? Can you then share it with the whole open web? And we're kind of thinking of that concept of moving out as IP and legal issues, hurdles get addressed, content will get released more readily. Another option in terms of publishing is that you can nominate one of your collections for inclusion into Art Store, which means that it would then go through our whole process of going through legal due diligence. We review each one and then would publish it in the digital library and it would be available to all of our subscribers. So that's another route. And then something that Mike talked about a little bit was a standalone website, or what we're calling for right now, Open Shelf. People know that some content on your campus has no IP restrictions and they want the world to see it. And so we recognize that that's something that we need to address. And that's probably going to be something that gets rolled out, not in the first phase, but probably in the subsequent year or two after.
The important thing there is it means that the material that you can make your material available to non-Art Store subscribers. So that's one of the key requirements, is that we can use this platform, but we're not restricting access just to Art Store.
Yep. In terms of export, we talked a little bit about being able to export your data into standard formats for Google Images or Flickr or for other local discovery systems. And we're working with different metadata working groups to see how the data should get exported and what's the best way for it to be readily available. And then obviously we're thinking about open APIs for a lot of what we're working on. And in some cases we're talking about OAI and ORE harvesting, but in very limited ways. What we've learned through hosting is that it's very difficult, and that even if you agree on a standard, the seamlessness of OAI and ORE harvesting is a lot harder than when we realized. So I think this is more of a research option for right now, but we've heard from some museums that they would like to use it as a way of getting their collections alongside Art Store collections for their institution, and that might be one way of just harvesting from their system and then putting it in. So that's kind of where we are with the harvesting discussion. So again, this is just a little illustration of what we're going for. We have shared vocabularies, a cataloging environment, and asset management, all within the cloud. They can be pushed out to a number of different systems. You can mix your local and Art Store content. You can have a standalone collection website similar to the museum example that Mike was talking about. You can send it to an institutional repository, because we know that backup is going to be very important. And that's where harvesting may really come into play, that if we want to have a standard harvest that writes to an institutional repository, that may be something we want to do. And then Flickr and Google Images as just examples of other sites on the web. This comes down to this progressive disclosure of content. So you can release your content to your institution via a hosted collection. You can think a little more broader, think consortially, and those are shared hosted collections. And then you can send them out to all 1,300 institutional subscribers for Art Store, and those are contributed collections. And a lot of this is internal language, but just you can see how the content gets a broader and broader audience. And then finally, open web access, which makes it publicly available to anyone on the web. I'm going to truck through these a little fast so we can have, I think, questions are really important. We released a beta about 2.5 months ago that was released to our 9 partners, and I'm going to show you a few screenshots from those just to show you our progress. Please note that this is a beta. It's a little rough, but we're really focusing on functionality and workflow, and we created a bunch of feedback mechanisms during the beta period so we can address immediately the changes to workflow that were recommended. So here's a screenshot of Shared Shelf as it sits today. There would be a number of projects that are available to you on the left, and whether you see or not see those projects will be based on your login. Here's an example of you selecting a few assets that you wanted to upload into the system. You would find them on your local drive and hit upload. Once they're into the system, they would be in a kind of grid view for you to look at. You can filter on any of the columns that are available, and you can have complex filters. And these filters are also specific to the types of content you're working with. So for dates, obviously, we give you calendars. For free text fields, you get a search box, and it's specific based on the data. Here you can see you're selecting about 5 assets and what you can do with those 5 assets. As soon as you select the 5 assets, it gives you options along the top. You can edit them in bulk. You can publish them in bulk. You could add them to a set, which is basically like an organizing principle in the system. You can add them to a new set, or you can clear. You can also control the view of content here. So all the fields that exist on the top of this grid can be turned on and off and moved from left to right. So you can really customize your view of the content, and it's all based on your login and a cookie. So the next time you come back in, it will show you what you've previously set before. Here's an example of bulk editing 5 assets in mass. It tells you your cataloging status on the bottom left. And here, as you started typing in Le Corbusier, it would give you a list of fields directly from ULAN, which is the Getty resource I was describing before, the list of names. And you can select from it, and all this rich data automatically gets written into the record. And all the variant names also on the back end get written in, so if people have alternate spellings, they'll be able to discover it through this way. The items that are in solid black are common to all 5. The ones that say multiple values, obviously, are multiple values, meaning that they differ from record to record. And this function is very similar to Bridge if you've ever used it as a cataloging tool. So then once you publish it, we're also thinking about how the discovery environment is going to have to change with all of the functionality that exists in Shared Shelf. And so this is the search page of ArtStore, Digital Library, if you've never seen it before. We're thinking about how to parse out some of the collections, so differentiating collection type, art store collections, hosted collections, personal collections, and allowing you to drill down early in the experience of searching. And then we're going to be rolling out faceted search or filtered search in probably about 2.5 months. And as such, we're also thinking about collection breakdown of things. So you can then facet on art store collections or hosted collections and get the information you want if you really just want to see what you're putting in there locally. We're also thinking about hover messaging, too, so people can quickly identify whether an image is art store based or is it coming from your local institution. And another thing that we have in IP working group is that rights information, we think, becomes very important because there are different terms of use that happen with local content than there is for art store content. And so those will also be available to you end users who, for the most part, probably don't care at all. But for the legal people at your campus, they do care a lot. Here. So one thing quickly to talk about are non-art collections. And we recognize that if this is really going to be an enterprise-wide system, it needs to accommodate a lot of different types of content. And so we've put together a partner subcommittee group to focus on this very issue of what else do we go after? What else? What other types of content do you think requires image management? And the two that we've put on the list are Darwin Core and AVM, which is one is more of a sciences schema, and the other one is an astronomy schema. And we want to see what happens if we load these schema in to Shared Shelf, what things break, what things don't. Can we really broaden the scope of what Shared Shelf can do? And with that also comes the issue of branding and identity. So we asked a lot of people, all right, say your astronomy professor comes in and wants to be directed to images. You're not going to direct them to ArtStore. They're not going to be happy with going to ArtStore to find astronomy images. So we're thinking about the notion of branding, which is instead of having ArtStore being the primary brand, your local institution then becomes the primary brand, so we would say Middlebury College Image Portal, for lack of a better term. And then you can feature content that's specific to your institution. And this comes down to the different skins that Mike was talking about, that this is our first step in that direction, where it's really your portal with content that ArtStore provides, and that ArtStore becomes more minimized in the experience for the end user. So you can come there to find art images. You can come there to find astronomy images. We're also thinking about, as part of this working group, do we need to tease out these different types of content? If you do a search for star in ArtStore and you're coming from the cultural object perspective and you get 26,000 results for the astronomy collection, is that the correct experience? Or do we need to create different fingers off of the search screen to say, here's astronomy content, here's cultural object content, and allow people to drill down a little earlier in the experience. So we're thinking about that as well.
It's probably worth noting in the examples that I cited of systems that we already have in place that we have no system that's sort of enterprise-wide for helping scientists manage their image files. And when I talked to our folks on the ground that actually do this work, they said, well, they just don't ask. And so there is an interesting question about to what extent should we just leave it alone and let the scientists muddle along, or to what extent is there a need there that we could meet through some of these systems?
So I thought I'd end with the shared shelf timeline of let you know where we are. The beta ran in summer of 2010. We're working on a new build that's going to be released in January to the partners. And then concurrently, we're working on simple and complex screens. And the simple screen, obviously, is similar to what you saw in the demo I showed you. But the complex screen is hierarchical data. And those who are familiar with VRA Core 4 as a standard know that it's a much more complicated cataloging experience, and that's what we're trying to accommodate in this kind of brownish-beige colored bar here. And we're using this staggered release so that we can not only release it and then we get the partner's feedback before the production release, which will be in summer of 2011. What we're doing right now is that we have a commitment to the 9 partners to have them be the first users of Shared Shelf. But we're taking on an additional 25 partners or people we're working with to look at the migration of data issues that come along with starting with a new system. In theory, we would love to imagine that you come to Shared Shelf and you have an empty field and you upload your images and then you're off and running, but what we know that's far, far, far from true. And so these additional 25 partners are going to help us to understand the migration effort needed and how that migration effort dovetails with these vocabularies, because if you think about a flat migration of data from one schema to another, it's fine, but when you start to talk about hierarchical data and controlled vocabularies and which vocabulary wins and all of that, we're using those 25 partners to really, in addition to the 9 we already know about, to really tease out this migration path. And we're going through that process right now. If you have an interest, you can email us to be looked at as one of the 25. And we're going to be announcing that probably in the next couple months of who we're going to be working with moving forward. Our goal is really not to just put out software and just, cross our fingers. We're really trying to do it slowly and do it thoughtfully. We're a nonprofit organization, and we want to figure out what's sustainable, not only from a financial point of view, but also to provide a service that people really want. And so I think this kind of working with people very closely, in our mind, is the best way to move forward. If you want to know more, obviously you can go to artstore.org/sharedshelf, or you can email us at sharedshelf at artstore.org. And I have cards. You can always come up here and email me at any time if you have questions. We have a few minutes. We wanted to reserve a few minutes for questions, and we have about 10. Any questions for either Mike or me?
Just for access.
That's a good question. For now, if you want to share with a specific other institution, they also have to be ArtStore subscribing. If you want to open it up more broadly to the general public, then they don't have to be. That's the one difference. Because they all have to sit on the same platform and how they're sharing and through what mechanism. We need to be able to authenticate them and know that they're the right people who are actually can see your collection.
In terms of just want to provide access to members of your consortium, for example, mm-hmm. without them being able to catalog or just for sharing the content with them, that could just be authenticated by
data,
for example.
Right.
But that's not part of the...
Not right now. There's something we're talking about, and this came up with the California Digital Library, is that something called a passive access fee. That there may be content generators within the California Digital Library, but there may also be just content users, and they want to passively use that content. And so there are different fee structures that accommodate those scenarios, where if you're using Shared Shelf as a cataloging system and creating content and pushing content forward, you can do that, and you would pay the full amount for the service. But then if you're just passively using it as part of teaching and learning, there's a different fee associated, and so it's much less. So the schema that we're working with is pretty rich. Right now, the simple schema has 90 fields in it. And so you're saying in addition to those fields, in addition to those tags? Because it's pretty rich as it is. Oh, yeah. Well, we've had the question a lot with interoperating with things like Flickr and tagging that happens there. There are some fields in our schema for tagging specifically, and we could map those to the Flickr fields for tagging. That's not a problem. I think the problem with a lot of systems outside of the loop is that we can send stuff there. It's the getting it back and putting it into your system, which is the challenge. And especially with Flickr, there's no way I know about it today that you can actually get your tags back out and into your system, so there's a controlled loop of that. It tends to be more you send it out and it lives out there, and if you want to delete something, you go to Flickr to delete it versus going to your resident system to delete it. So there's a little bit of, there's also has to be the other side of the handshake from the other software, and if that does happen with Flickr, we could do that, but today that's not a possibility. But with tagging, there is potential for tagging, and I think in terms of data richness, it's going to provide a lot of opportunity. Yeah, for all of the partners that we're working with have existing metadata. And so we recognize that each of the projects that you load in Shared Shelf, there may be a slightly different schema to support it, and it's just the way it is.
We worked with ArtStore to define the schema, and then we basically exported the stuff out of MDID, got it into a spreadsheet, and just kind of went back and forth until everything lined up well, and then we're able to upload this. They did some kind of magic and uploaded all of it in through the spreadsheet. The idea is my sense of the idea is that that's not the desired workflow in the long run, that what you want to do is get all your kind of legacy stuff in and then make Shared Shelf be the live system of record rather than trying to say, I'm going to manage it all over here and then upload it later. Right. That's just it's not sustainable.
And also, as you know, with every migration, there's always some lossiness that happens and some choices that you have to make in that process. So I think getting it into a common schema or agreeing on things just on a local level makes sharing. I mean, I think about this story. I was talking to NYU, and they have four or five different instances of Luna being run on uptown and downtown campuses. And they were talking about what are the fields that they have in common to search across it. And the one field that they have that is across all of them is work ID. So for the end user, if they ever wanted to search across these different fields, I mean, you would literally have to know the work ID and understand what that means, and it's impossible. So I think by centralizing the schema and realizing that there are going to be extensions of that schema in different cases, but there's a core set of data that you can work against, similar to the notion of a Dublin core, there's a lot more potential for sharing within your institution, and then if you think about it more broadly, it's also there as well. There's a very strong possibility it will be integrated. I think right now we're putting the focus first on ULAN and TGN, which is the artist names and the geographic terms. But yes, we are looking at that. That's probably going to be the next thing. I also think as more and more vocabularies become web service ready, we also have to think about how to accommodate that for LCNAF. And there's a slew of other vocabularies. I think the challenge with vocabularies, especially with like vocabularies, so if you have two name vocabularies that you're working with, is then mapping them across the vocabularies themselves, which is there are some projects that are doing this right now, but if we really want it, there are different ways of looking at vocabularies. One can be for integrity of data. The other one can be for discoverability in some other system. So if down the road we want to be able to say everything in this user interface, I want to find every Picasso image that's available. You click Picasso, it would have to know that the Picasso record that you've tied to ULAN is the same that you tied to the Library of Congress name authorities and recognize that they're one and the same. So it's this incredible mapping that starts to happen when you think about the complexity of vocabularies. Financial model with the partners?
The financial model for us was we basically fronted some money to help fund the development and got, you know, and therefore got a seat at the table in terms of thinking about the specifications. And then over time, the claim, I'm not counting on it, but the claim is that the money that we put up front will then be used to help us defray the costs for the service, of our subscriptions to the service. And then at some point, we'll have spent all the money we put up front, and then we'll have to pay with this year's money as opposed to the money we put in to as an investment. And then the I honestly don't know what the plan is for the next round. So the nine of us, and obviously Harvard and Yale put in significantly more than we did. I don't know what the plans are for the 25 in terms of investment. I think my sense in looking at the website and the fee structure is that they would simply start paying the normal fees for the service, and then over time the fee model will evolve, and then everybody will just be on a level playing field.
That's exactly right. There are, and there are.
In addition, right. So, in addition, I'll say a little bit, and then you can mm-hmm. correct me because I'm sure I'll get it wrong. So, Art Store will continue to have its fees. Shared Shelf will be an additional fee, and the model that they've established or we've established is that there will be a, depending on the size of your institution, there's going to be a cost to use the service at all, and then it's incremental based on number of assets. So that as the number of assets grow, the cost goes up to a point, and I believe $500,000 was the upper limit. So if once you cross $500,000, the next $16 million are free to a point. I mean, I think they have, if you showed up with $16 million, they'd probably say, forget about it, but $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, you'll cap at the cost for the $500,000. And there was a fair amount of you know, discussion, shall we say, about what the right model was going to be, and the reality is that there's no single easy way to do it, that every single model is going to have some tragic flaw in it that people aren't going to be happy with. This one seems like one that, you know, the partners at least could live with, and I suspect over time that the market will play itself out, and that if the model doesn't work for people, Art Store is going to have to figure out a new model in order to make it sustainable. But the, you know, folks that think about this stuff a lot seem to think this model will probably work okay.
And please keep in mind we are a nonprofit, so we're looking to cover our costs. So it's not we're not looking to gouge. We're looking at the cost of what this really takes to implement. And when we've asked some of our partners to go back and see what it would take to implement on their campuses, some people came back in the millions to actually do this effectively across campus. So we're really looking at costs, and I think with this additional wave of 25 people we'll be working with, we're also going to be looking at costs very closely, and especially when you get up in the higher asset range of more than 500,000, it's really going to be just pass-through costs per asset for storage. A lot of the additional costs will go away.
And my own view on this is that as the population of people using it grows, then the cost per asset and the cost per institution ought to go down, because the programming involved, you know, the first record costs an awful lot. And then as you add more and more, so having a system to manage 10,000 records or having a system to manage 10 million records, it's the same software, so that the more people who join, the lower the cost ought to be. That's my hope, is that as it grows, we may pay more initially, and then over time, as the community grows, if Art Store stays true to the idea that they're not trying to make a profit, they're just trying to cover their costs, those costs per asset and per institution ought to drop.
Okay, it doesn't seem like there are any other questions. Feel free to come up if you'd like my card or have any other questions you'd like to ask, but thank you.
Thank you so much.